Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Easy stereotypes. It's not something you need when you're dealing with weighty issues, especially in the press. So, especially when they're covering matters of religion, it's probably, we're all best served by the facts, just the facts. Well, what if you toss in a very weighty subject like immigration reform? Evangelicals meet together. They actually draft a statement on immigration reform. We need more than easy stereotypes, don't we? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Sarah Pulliam Bailey is going to join us here for a few minutes. We're going to talk about some media coverage of evangelicals and immigration reform. Also, a Dallas Morning News story about President George W. Bush and his impact in Africa. A little bit later, Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be our guest. We'll talk about a new survey of millennials and belief in God. Fewer believe, the number who doubt God's existence is growing rapidly. We'll see what he has to say. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's four sound bites of this week's audio that we play for you, and you get to pick the Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You call and vote or email or send us a tweet, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Sarah Pulliam Bailey is a contributor to GetReligion.org and online editor for Christianity Today. Sarah, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, thanks for having me.
There was a recent story that you were writing about having to do with a joint statement from evangelical leaders on immigration. What did you find problematic about the coverage of it?
So what I saw, at least from the initial coverage, is that A, not a lot of reporters noticed it, and then B, that a lot of the people who were noticing it or assigned to the stories were the political reporters. So they didn't necessarily capture some of the nuances in how significant the statement might be. For instance, we saw that Focus on the Family's president came out in support of this, which is new for that organization. They traditionally have not taken a stance on that. So we saw bits and pieces that were missing, not overall horrible, but again, this, you know, especially given President Obama's announcement on immigration, this will only become a bigger topic as the election approaches.
Was there anything about the way that the story was presented? I mean, I'm talking about headline, lead, stuff like that,
yes,
that you thought,
yes,
should be criticized?
Sure. So the New York Times, I know it's easy to pick on them, but they did have a headline that ran in print. It changed for online, but in print it said, "Christians on right urge reform on migrants." And Terry and I made a similar point this week where the term Christian right cannot be applied to everyone who has joined these statements on healthcare and then on immigration. There are many people who would shudder at the term right, and then, you know, it's a little more nuanced than just Christian right, which is sort of a dead term anyway. So in terms of the headline, I don't think that captured it quite as much as we would have hoped to see in nuance.
What about the body of the story itself?
So in the New York Times piece, there was some criticism over, you know, how do we describe how this translates into policy? And there was a paragraph in there that suggested that it defies the harsh rhetoric of the Republican primary race, which continues to undermine Mitt Romney's appeal to Hispanic voters. I don't know that you could necessarily take the statement earlier this week by evangelical leaders and suggest that it undermines, you know, everything in the primary race and Romney and all of that. I just feel like that connection is a little too overreaching for that reporter to make. But overall, it wasn't a terrible story.
So you're saying there with regard to the Romney reference that while it may be appropriate to have something about maybe comparing and contrasting Romney's rhetoric or something like that with the president's or setting it in its context, there's a conclusion drawn here that isn't that the reporter's making that isn't necessarily supported by the facts.
Exactly. And then describing it as sort of harsh rhetoric of the Republican primary race. I mean, that's such a broad, sweeping generalization. If he supported it with a statement, for instance, Romney said, you know, yada, yada, yada. I feel like we should, instead of making these generalizations like Christian right or harsh rhetoric or, you know, making these generalizations, using quotes to support sort of the overall point, and then readers can sort of infer what they want from those points, those quotes.
What about the story from David Sessions in the Daily Beast?
I thought it was pretty good. I just found it this morning in the middle of everything else that I was reading, but I enjoyed that he took some time to call up leaders. I think sometimes it can be easy to watch, especially now where reporters have so much more access. I think David's in New York and this press conference, I believe, was in D.C., and so it's easy to watch kind of the web live stream on the web and sort of pick up quotes from that. But he did some original reporting, talked to these leaders, and I thought he added something new there.
Coming back to the issue of the Christian right or Christians on the right in the case of the New York Times headline, why do you think the media likes terms such as those?
Well, to be fair, so my husband's a copy editor, and I know how hard it is to squeeze a little bit into that print space at the top. If you only have a column or two column, it can be very hard to describe something in a nuanced way. At least on the web, you can expand on those headlines. Actually, Google treats longer headlines sometimes better because there are more keywords in them. So if you want to be, I feel like the web is almost, ironically, sometimes treats a little bit more nuance with a little more favor. But at the same time, I know there are tough decisions to be made still for print.
Another story that I wanted to address with you, or another subject in the media that I wanted to address with you, was former President George W. Bush. What did you find recently on coverage of him and his activities?
Well, so we're not seeing much coverage of George Bush to begin with. And I mean, part of that is just simply access. He's just not accessible to reporters. He sort of takes a very low key, you know, he does his thing. He'll pop up on occasion for a book tour or some issue that he feels passionately about, but in general, he's not accessible to reporters the same way former President Clinton and former President Jimmy Carter are. And so we're not seeing as much coverage of him. Is it his fault or me fault? You know, you can make all sorts of guesses or ideas based on accessibility. But I did see a nice piece from the Dallas Morning News tracking how his policies are still specifically impacting those in Africa. And I thought it was a really nice way to follow up on some of the decisions he made in office.
And in particular, his language there about morality with regard to AIDS pandemic and other issues impacting Africa. What did you find there?
So on one hand, I was so thrilled to see the speech, right? But on the other hand, there was very little about his faith. And, you know, he described the idea of ignoring this devastation would be immoral. There were other people who talked about it in moral terms. From what I gathered from the story, the Dallas Morning News actually did interview Bush and obviously some of his former colleagues. So I felt like there was room there to say, okay, so where does this stem from? I mean, he's not doing, as far as I can tell, he's not doing this for publicity reasons. He doesn't have, I mean, he maybe still has his book to sell, I don't know, but he's not running for office. He's not, you know, like, so where does this stem from? And I feel like there's something deeper there. There's something the reporter could have done a little bit more to suggest maybe this is part of his faith. And so, you know, and that's what we look for at Get Religion.
Well, especially given the fact that during his two terms as president, the press was very comfortable associating him with his Christian faith, not always in the most complimentary way, but they constantly reminded us that this man was kind of sitting at the, at least from their perspective, sitting at the heart of American evangelicalism.
Exactly. There was all this talk about his faith-based initiative and, oh no, are we a theocracy, et cetera, et cetera. But now, when we look back, it's almost as if, because he's not running for office and isn't obviously playing, you know, trying to get evangelical voters or whoever, there's no motivation here. I don't know. It's rather confusing. I wish, it's hard to know, though. Like, some people might be cynical and say, oh, well, that was just a ploy to get religious voters. But we heard something very different from the people who worked with him back in at the White House.
Finally, then, with about a minute here, did the Dallas Morning News piece adequately describe what the president was up to in Africa?
I thought so. I mean, this was a lengthy piece. A reporter actually physically went over to Africa, which is amazing for newspapers to be able to do that anymore, and wrote a very lengthy piece for a newspaper. So in general, I thought overall I was pleased. I mean, this is also the president's, you know, sort of hometown newspaper too, so it's not terribly unusual. I mean, this isn't like a paper in Kansas or some other random newspaper, but I was also pleased to see that they would invest so much time and energy into something like this.
Sarah Pulliam Bailey is a contributor to GetReligion.org and online editor for Christianity Today. Sarah, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be our guest. We'll talk about a new survey on millennials and their waning belief in God. Join Issues Etc. regular guest Jean Edward Veith, Stephen Hine, and me for the Conference on Classical and Lutheran Education, July 17th through the 19th at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Topics include teaching Latin, music, history, literature, the catechism, and more. Visit ccle.org for more information. The Conference on Classical and Lutheran Education, July 17th through the 19th in Houston, Texas, ccle.org.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden. Egypt.
France. Turkey.
Japan. Australia.
Canada. United Kingdom. Hong Kong.
Austria. Finland. Malaysia.
Singapore. Bulgaria.
Korea. Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.